this morning you lost your ass, and I hear number 99, 9800, and you lost your opportunity. So we'll move on to discussion of land use applicant attendance requirements.
Yes, this is our second discussion item for the meeting for our community development department. This was an item brought to our attention, or also additional requests that really kind of came to light as we were working through the cleanup process of the zoning code. And that was the idea that an applicant or an applicant's representative attendance at the meetings as they move through the process, whichever process that may be, mayor, council, planning commission, city council, or zoning board of appeals, that their presence be mandatory at the meeting. And that was where the thought ended. So as the cleanup process continued, council made the decision that was a policy change, so we take that off the table with that, and we're now discussing it here. When we start talking about making the attendance at the meeting mandatory, which it is not currently, it does beg the question of what is the punishment of not attending the meeting. So from a staff perspective, that is the first item that we would appreciate some guidance from if this is an item or an idea that council would like us to move forward with through some text amendment changes. We would need to have a discussion about what would be the punishment for missing your meeting. As a matter of good business, as someone that has been in the profession for a couple of years now, it's very, very rare that you see an applicant miss the meeting, because if you're asking somebody to say yes to something you want to do, you show up. It's a matter of good business. It's showing respect for the process and the people making the decision, and it allows an opportunity for discussion. Whereas if you're not present, the person making the decision really has to rely on the information in front of them, and sometimes there may be something that needs to be answered a little bit later on. So as a matter of good business, applicants that are invested in their own process come to meetings. I did add a sentence in here that to date, in the 6 months that we have been operational, we haven't had anyone not come to the meeting. So from a staff opinion, I'm concerned that we may be solving a problem that doesn't exist. We do have people attending the meetings. We do have productive zoning board of appeal meetings and city council meetings, and those are truly our only decision-making meetings in the process. I'd also like to draw the council's attention that as we consider this, I don't want to get lost in the process that everyone has a right to ask for applications to be reviewed in our process. I'm concerned that we may be setting something up where you have to get representation in order to make your way through our process, in order to feel like you have a fighting chance at being heard and being treated fairly in a public forum. The reason I have this concern is I had a personal experience in Roswell where we had a meeting. We had a gentleman that was asking to do something to his house. He needed some board to approve it, and lo and behold, he didn't come to the meeting that night. And as a staff practice, we contact the applicant a day or two before and say, "Hey, you know, your meeting's coming up. You really need to be there." So we do that typical reminder. So it's pretty rare when people don't show up. This gentleman didn't show up. Come to find out about 2 days later, his daughter was playing a basketball game at the high school, turned her ankle. She had to go to the emergency room. He got the call, "You take care of your family first." I would be concerned as a staff person to see that flexibility and individual judgment be removed from the situation. If the zoning board of appeals or the mayor and council feels like you have a simple request in front of you, you're capable of making a decision that you're comfortable with that night, and there are situations beyond our control, maybe we shouldn't punish those people because they had to address a more pressing emergency. So with that being said, I'll step out of the discussion because I feel like staff's concerns have been.
Okay, great. Let me kick it off, guys, and I'll move on. I do agree with you, Jennifer. I think this is maybe overreaching. I think, from community council to us, if someone doesn't show up, community council can vote no, and it goes up the line, all the way to us. So the fact and the circumstances, if somebody doesn't show, it may be a good reason, it may be not a good reason, but I think that would be reflected on the boards that are making that decision. So with that, let me pass on discussion. I'll start down here. Anything, Danny?
I'm one that kind of believes that I don't care if the applicant's there, but the representation's there. And I think one of the things that, if there is an emergency in that case, it's kind of like everything else in life, I think it's one of those things that's kind of an excused absence, if you will. And so I don't know. I just feel that, if the board is spending their time and everything else and the applicant isn't concerned enough to at least send a representative there, I don't know why the board should be spending all of their time that evening on that issue when everybody else is sitting in the in the audience here are waiting to be heard. So I feel it's kind of important that somebody does show up or represent or something for a case to be heard. But, you know, I will, you've been in this business a lot longer than I have. So
thank you, Denny. Robert?
I want to echo what Jennifer said. I think this is a problem we don't need to solve. We're smart enough to know whether a particular request is in the city's best interest or not. If if somebody comes and says, I want to take that sewer pipe farm by Georgetown and I want to turn it into million-dollar mansions instead of 5,000 apartments, I don't care whether they're at the meeting or not. So we are capable, even if they're not there, you know, we are capable of assessing, you know, whether an item is good for the city or not, and we should allow all of these boards to use their judgment, and let's not change it if it ain't broken.
Thank you, Robert. Any other discussion on this? Discussion of any of these public members.
He put himself
last. This last discussion item from community development is the meat of the memo is really just background for council to have an adequate discussion about the matter. We've heard some comments and concerns about whether the advertising occurring with our public hearings is adequate. So I've included some inserts of our code which specify what happens when, where, for the zoning process and for the Zoning Board of Appeals process. Also in the beginning of the introduction is the note of how we've changed our agendas and their accessibility on the city website.
Questions? Yes, John?
What happens when these regulations aren't followed? What is the typical exercise? We heard of in a case where the rules of law that we had stated weren't followed as far as the public notice, as far as an incorrect address that was given. What's the rectification for something like that under our ordinances?
Something like that happens, it is a staff mistake. We have apologized for that mistake in the past. We have made corrections within our internal procedures and our staffing levels to make sure those mistakes don't happen in the future. And we learn from our mistakes and we move on. I don't feel like we have a broken process. I feel like we have a mistake that was made. So when that mistake is made, when it becomes clear that we have made that mistake, the process suspends, because if the legal advertising procedure did not occur properly, the action taken is then in jeopardy for the side of the city, but also for the side of the applicant. If they continue to move forward with the judgment and they start exercising the rights granted under that judgment, but the judgment wasn't made properly, everybody gets hung out to dry. So in the case that the gentleman was speaking of earlier, when that came to light at the meeting, staff accepted that there was a mistake made, there was no decision made that night, and essentially the applicant starts over. They can return to our office to submit new documentation. There will be a new ad in the Crier. There will be new letters mailed to the property owners and new signage placed in the ground.
Great. Right. And a new hearing.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Right.
Thank you.
Other questions, sir? I think that's a fair process. First of all, there's no perfect person who walks the face of this earth, so Jennifer, I'm sure not one, and the rest of us aren't either. We're all pure mortals, and I know some folks that like to think they are, but I don't know where they are. I haven't seen them yet in my life. So, you know, if you make a mistake, that's the best thing you do. You admit your mistake and you step off. And as far as that process is concerned, you know, my questions are on the process that we have here. Are we in basic agreement compliance, if you will, with the norm? And when I say the norm, I'm talking about, i.e., throughout the state of Georgia, throughout our local municipalities that live around us. Are we within the same norm with, you know, all the various rules here, the notification?
Yes, the state mandated requirement is signage on the property and notice in the legal organ. We then take the above and beyond step of mailing notices to the immediately surrounding 250 feet, which is very much in line with what our neighbors do of our sister cities, Roswell, Alpharetta, Shankly, all of those communities.
Okay. I think one gentleman out tonight brought up that maybe we could make the lettering just a little larger. Is one of the people that now wears glasses. I wouldn't mind to see that either. So, I don't know if that's an expense that would be prohibitive or anything like that, but if we could look into that, I think that would be a good point.
Good question.
If I could, I think I can address a little bit of that on the fly, but I'm happy to research it further and come back with real numbers. In my experience in Roswell, Roswell makes, in my mind, an extraordinary effort in their signage, in that they have individually, uniquely manufactured printed signs for all of their zoning cases. They're roughly the size of me, and they are placed
in...
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And then they are placed in the ground on a utility pole. The flip side of that is those signs are very expensive, and you can no longer have me or the city planner or Richard go out and stick that sucker in the ground. You have to have a professional public works team go out with diggers that have to stick that sign into the ground. The other element to it is the purpose of a public noticing sign is to draw attention to action to be taken. In my mind, and this may be just my opinion, it's not to educate you on everything you may need to know that's occurring there. It's to alert you that something is occurring there, and it tickles you in the right direction of how to educate yourself on the matter. Call the office, look at the website, whatever may be the most convenient method for you. So if the quest is to find the signage that teaches you everything you need to know as you drive by at 40 miles an hour, we're probably never going to get there, because I haven't seen a city that does it. Could we have larger signage with bigger letters? Absolutely, and we can get a price quote for that and bring that back to you.
Okay, that or unique color or something. I agree with you that I don't care if you're doing 15 miles an hour, you're not going to be able to read the whole thing. And in my case, when I was interested, I went around the block and pulled off the street and got out and read the thing is what I did. So I think, you know.
Okay. Well, that's, I guess I've got one question before I hopscotch to Robert on this. On the Roswell signs, it does make a pretty dramatic difference. If y'all have ever seen those signs, that they do stick out and make you take notice. Yeah, I apologize about my laugh in the microphone. I just envisioned Richard and a team of people putting up this team sign, as you said.
Richard looks
good. Bureaucracy of a team of sign pole people. But is there any way to, or is this part of our orders to flip that charge on the applicant?
That could be done.
Yes. We would need to amend the fee schedule to reflect that, so that would be an action taken by council. But absolutely, when we put the quote together of what that sort of signage would be, it sounds like a couple of things that I need to put together is the cost of signage, a template of that signage for your review, and figuring out a payment method.
That's great. Sorry, Robert. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to add it on the fly. You also may want to consider having different size signs for different type of applications. Because you do get real simple ones where somebody needs 4 feet on the side of a house to do nothing. It's a real minor thing, and to put up a 20-foot sign for something like that. So I think we probably need to research a little further how to differentiate between major applications and minor applications as well, because the cost of a homeowner, can start to really be driven up if they're paying for the sign in addition to whatever, fee they've got to pay for their application as well.
Right. I reviewed what we currently have, and I want to make some suggestions for specific changes. First of all, what we today require is a 6-foot square sign, which is 2 feet by 3 feet. I'd like to suggest, being arbitrary, that we double it. Today we require, in some cases, 2 inches, lettering that's 2 inches in size. I'd like to suggest that we double it to 4. Today we are required to notify property owners within 250 feet of the property. Being arbitrary, I'd like to suggest that we double it to 500. We've already talked about putting together a subscription service, an RSS feed. Do we have, I didn't see in the ordinance, that we place the application and supporting materials online 15 days before? I know we have to do the public notice 15 days before, but I didn't see a requirement that we provide online. Again, if you post it online and somebody subscribes, then as soon as you post it, they get a notice. They can go on site and see it without having to find the ad. Is that something that we can also implement as a requirement?
There's nothing in our code right now that requires any sort of website posting.
Right.
In the scope of legal noticing, it's relatively new technology. What the code does say is that the packets to the commissioners, board members, council people, needs to be delivered to them 7 days in advance of the meeting. And that is why we post the information 6 days in advance of the meeting, to give them a little bit of a head start before people start inquiring.
All right. So, again, another suggestion that I'd like to see changed is I'd like to change the code to require the posting. Because, again, the difficulty here is if we don't require it, if we leave it up to the staff, and they do it sometimes and they don't do it other times, then somebody can complain that they were unfairly dealt with because either we did or we didn't. So let's require it to be done, and then we can treat everybody the same. So that's the next change that I'd like to see us make. And I think that's it. I did find one place where we had lettering that to be at least 1 inch, and I'd like that changed to 4 inches as well, but I can give you my markup. And I think those will help. I mean, I think collectively, all of those will help.
No objections to that? Anybody have any comments? All right. So, Robert, you will send that out to Jennifer, so
yep.
The council, please.
Yeah. Jennifer, can I just hand it to you?
Sure.
All right, discussion of